You are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, oh, so holy. What a privilege.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here on this beautiful Sunday morning. You were just listening to an incredible song by Lisa McClendon, who you're going to hear about in a moment, called You Are Holy. And I love that song. We were just chatting about her music and her background, and you'll hear more about her in a moment. But let me just say thank you for being here this morning. As always, so happy that you are here with us on this beautiful day, and where we are a safe space, really looking to heal ourselves and our families in a love and compassionate way. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I am so delighted to be here this morning with our special guest, Lisa McClendon. She is an international award-winning recording artist, and she emerged on the music scene. You just heard a little bit of her music, a tiny bit, in 2002. Where she reshaped gospel music with her unique blend of soul and jazz, earning her the title of the Queen of Gospel Neo Soul. Let me just let somebody in. There we go. Lisa currently serves in the community as an expressive arts educator, combining her passion for the arts and mental well-being through Yay Yay's Village, a Lisa McClendon expressive arts community. Yay's Village is a youth-centered program that creates a vibrant space where the arts are used to help young people grow in academic excellence, social skills, and healthy mental wellness, while equipping them with the leadership skills they need to lead with confidence and purpose. Yay's Village utilizes various art modalities, including vocal performance, dramatization, visual arts, creative writing, and movement to support social and emotional development. Lisa also serves as the newest brand ambassador for This Is My Brave, which is an organization dedicated to using storytelling to bring awareness to and provide support for mental illness. Her work with Yay's Village and This Is My Brave reflects her commitment to fostering resilience, self-expression, and community transformation through the arts. Continuing to travel the world as a singer-songwriter, Lisa McClendon brings uplifting and soulful music that inspires and restores the spirit. And you can learn more about Yay's Village at www.yayesvillage.org, and it's spelled yeyesvillage.org. Welcome, Lisa. I'm so excited you're here at the Sunrise Project. Thank you for being here and getting up early with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies. I see all these beautiful ladies.
Yes, I am so excited to have you here as part of Sunrise. And Dr. Vicky was sharing this morning, we were just talking about it, how you were actually part of BET's Wrap It Up program 30 plus years ago that we created. And Dr. Vicky was really instrumental in leading that effort around HIV and AIDS in the Black community. And so this is really a full circle moment from 30 years ago, maybe 35, I don't know, but a long time ago to being here today. So thank you for all of that work. And thank you for everything you're doing right now in the mental health space. Awesome. Thank you. So I want to start this morning by asking a real simple question, which is, who is Lisa McClendon? Let's start there.
No, that's such a, I heard that question all my life, and I still have to find ways to answer it. So I am a mother, two amazing kids, Dynamite. My daughter Diamond, we call her Dynamite, is 24. My son Joshua is 19. It just sounds weird, saying that, but they are budding adults, navigating their own lives.
When you say it sounds weird saying that, is it because they're adults and because they're 24 and 19 and it flew by? That's how I feel.
When I say it, I see Josh sitting on an ottoman at two. Like I see Diamond walking through the house as a kid, And it's just like we have adult conversations, and it
Yeah.
blows my mind. Yeah, sorry about that, lady. So he
No
walks in
worries.
the room, he gives me a card, and he wrote, I didn't know he wrote it until he told me. But in the card, it said, "Success is like a dark room. You're scaling the wall, and you bump against the wall, but eventually you will find the door." That's what I mean by this kid is 19, but he was just two. I'm like, where did you get that from? Mama, I thought of that myself. So it's just
Wow.
amazing to see them, just him being this age and her being this age and having their own minds. It's just been amazing. So yeah, just being a mom. I've been in the music industry as a recording touring artist for about, yeesh, I guess 25, 30 plus years. Well, about 25 years. And love the arts. I am a child of the arts. I was raised in a family where the arts was heavily, you could see it around us. Music was always around us. Art, visual arts, and now just emerging in dancing and digital arts. Anything arts is my passion. So that's centrally who I am. I'm an artist, and I'm a mom and a sister for sure.
And a sister, I love that. And so, how has you talk about music and the arts? And so, how has your journey over these last 30 years or 20 years, I guess, how has your journey impacted how you parent your children?
Wow. My journey, the impact of my children has been a roller coaster in all transparency. And the reason why is because my story goes back to about age 15 when I was singing in the church on the praise team choir. And I began to have difficulty breathing. And my parents had to rush me to the emergency room. My dad, a Pentecostal preacher, and my mom, a missionary Baptist church, a Baptist missionary, sorry. And we got there, and the doctor said, she's having a panic attack. And I remember this clearly. He said, she's too young to be distressed. And we left the hospital. We gave it to Jesus. Gave it to Jesus. And we left the hospital and never spoke about it again. And so that put me on the path of trying to navigate life without the tools to manage my anxiety. I did not know what, and I didn't know what triggers were. I didn't know the terminology trauma. I didn't know any of this. All I knew was that starting at the age 7, after being molested at the age of 7 repeatedly, I would have these nightmares every night, where they will always end with me either driving off of a cliff in a car. I was this little kid in the dream behind the wheel of this huge car, and I would just remember not being able to navigate. Like I didn't have control. And I would always wake up and the car was either going off the cliff or it was smack dead into the wall. And I would wake up. So at 15, when they took me to the hospital and when the doctor was telling my parents what was wrong, I remember thinking as a kid, a 15-year-old kid, thinking, oh, that's what that is. No one knew that I had been having this, I just called it an episode. No one knew I had been having this episode since I was 7. And I didn't get a name until I was 15. But once we left the hospital and never talked about it again, it kind of got buried. I was never given any tools. So fast forward, I get this contract as an artist, a recording artist. And soon thereafter, I become a mom. And so now I'm trying to navigate life and I'm having these episodes again before I hit the stage. When I feel threatened, when I feel rejection, I'm having all these episodes, and all of this without these tools is affecting my parenting. I'm distant at times. I'm very depressed. I'm extremely sad and emotional, impulsive. All of these things that I wish I had so that I could be a better parent in my early 20s than I was. But it wasn't until I was about 40 is when I started getting the tools to be a better parent. When I started understanding that's why I was dealing with anxiety, that's why I was triggered. And I always tell people it's never too late to pivot. It's never too late to come back and tell your children that you're sorry, that you didn't know. It's never too late. And that's what I did. When I started getting the tools, I entered an undergrad as a psychology student. and I started learning, and I stopped and said, I owe my children an apology and an explanation. And after I gave them the
Apology and an
apology and an
explanation.
explanation, because I'm a big advocate, when we find out things, it's not for it to be an excuse, but it definitely is an explanation. And then at 42, I was diagnosed with onset ADHD. So I'm sorry, my life began to make sense. All of the things that all the troubles, the ups and the downs, it began to make sense because now I knew, and now that I know, now I can go gather the tools, and now I can give the tools to my own children.
Yes, but you didn't learn until you started your psychology degree. And I want to go back to, is that correct? So not until, and then you were, when you left the hospital at 15, you never talked about it again.
Parents never, and I always say this, my mom and I, we've had discussions about it. They knew what they knew. You know, sometimes, and I've been that person earlier, as a younger adult, maybe in my 20s and even my 30s, just really frustrated with my mother, really upset with my mom. Like, why didn't she do this and why didn't she do that? And I remember being in undergrad and learning and thinking, I remember my mom being sad all the time. I remember her being just, she looked dark most of my life. Most of my life. And you didn't talk about that. You
We
know,
didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it. Our whole community, no one
just
talked about
never,
it.
right, never. And my dad, he always pushed things to church. We're just gonna church
Yeah.
everything away.
I'm gonna pray all
We're
the
gonna
way.
pray it away, we're gonna sing it away, we're gonna church it to death. And
Yeah.
my mother was always sad. And I was mad that she wasn't emotionally available to me, but she didn't know how.
Right. She
She didn't know
didn't
how.
know.
And it wasn't until I got the tools that I needed, and this is what I think is so important as women, as parents,
Yes.
is we cannot, so it's called the Sunrise Project, which I love. We cannot look for our children to rise until we rise first.
That's right.
I
Yes.
cannot lift up my child when I'm low. My mother could not
Yeah.
do anything because she was too busy trying to get her own life together.
That's right.
And so for me, the greatest gift that I could give my children, that I'm giving my children, is to take care of me.
That's right.
Hands down, I'm up early taking care of me. I cannot give you something that I do not have. And that to me is the first absolute thing that I must do to be successful. It's not getting up checking emails. It's not attending a network session. It's not knowing who knows can make a difference in my path of my career. It's making sure I get up and I meditate and pray. It's making sure that I eat a balanced diet. It's making sure
Yeah.
that I get in the sunlight, I get in nature. It's those little things that we say that we don't have time for, that we absolutely don't have, we cannot afford. Because when that lacks, our parenting lacks.
That's right. It's yes. It's I love what you just say. It's like when you we have to take care of ourselves first. And then when we don't do that, we were talking about that earlier. It's like with Thanksgiving, our speaker last week was talking about choose joy instead, expect joy instead, which is about our perspective or as a parent, you know, if we have had challenges in the past. And what I hear you saying is always choosing yourself allows you to be a better parent. And sharing that example about your mother, I think many of us can relate, you know, to either never talking about it or seeing the person sad or maybe bipolar, maybe, you know, different pieces. And so I feel like that part, it's like we can't focus on, what does someone say? From I to we, you have to focus on I first and then shift
Important.
to we, but I first and then we. And then this part, one of our speakers talked about when you change from I to we, illness becomes wellness. But you start with the I, start with focusing on me, and then you can create hope and create better and apologize to our children. And what was the second thing you said? Apologize
Apologize, explain.
and explain that part.
Explain. And I think doing that has allowed my own children to open up, because when I talked to them and was able to explain things, then they're going, oh, that's why I feel like, and now we can have a
Yeah.
conversation because I didn't have, no one explained to me. The doctor said this is what she's dealing with, but no one's came and said to me, oh, well, I've been dealing with this. My mother never explained, at least during that time, she has since, but during that time, she never explained why she was so sad. I don't even know if she could articulate it, to be honest.
That's amazing.
But what a difference it would have made in my life if she could. If she could have said, this is what I came from, this is the trauma that I dealt with, you know, I too dealt with X, Y, and Z, and this is probably why you've dealt with X, Y, and Z. And look, let's even go to therapy together. Let's read together. Let's get the tools together. I
Never.
didn't get that to I didn't get that
You
till later.
didn't give that. So, did you tell your children about what happened to you when you were 7? Have you?
Yes, we've had a lot of conversations about that. And even things beyond seven. I've talked to them about triggers and impulsivity, and I've seen some of the things that I've dealt with in my own children. And I come to them and I say, there's a way to approach them, but I will come to them and let them know I know what I'm seeing and I've dealt with this as well. Let's have a conversation. I'm big about that. Let's have a conversation. I always try to leave that door open for them to talk because I feel like I should be the first person in their dad, of course. We should be the first people that they talk to, but not the only person.
But
But
at least have that safe space where there's an open door and there's
absolutely.
communication happening. And real communication, you know, that I think is another challenge that we have. I love everything you're saying. It's so deep to me. So how did you introduce the arts to your children, if you did? I'm assuming that you did. And how important is it for parents to have a creative outlet for their children?
I think they were just around. Like my daughter, when I my first tour run in Europe, my daughter was 4. She was working the merch table.
Amazing. And you're
I
pregnant.
remember, I mean, we have photos of her at the merchandise table, and as much as and she was very she was, actually she was pretty very articulate, and she would talk to people about the product and come buy my mama's CD, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't think they had a choice. They didn't have a choice. It was always
That's
around them.
part of their life.
It was just a part of their life. My son is probably who shocked us the most. I didn't know how because I was in the height of my touring career, height of touring when he was a baby. So I don't remember him being around when we were touring a whole lot, but something happened in about, he's 19 now, so about 16. He starts recording and we hear his first song and we're thinking, when did this child learn how to sing? Like, where is this coming from? So he's this great producer, an amazing writer. And I remember his high school AP creative writing teacher emailing me and said, you know your son has a gift. I'm like, gift of what? I mean, I know he's a good student. And she sent me some of his writings and I told his dad, I said, where is this kid getting this from? And he's like, are you really asking that?
It
So
comes naturally. The
it
fruit
just
doesn't
has
fall far from the tree. That's correct.
absolutely. So they're both surrounded by art. We another thing that I think is important to share with you ladies is that we surround our house with the arts. I'm big about the arts touching our five senses: texture, sound, taste, sight. Just the more I study neuro arts and how important it is for our mental health, I am intentional about color being in our household, sound being in our light being in our household, because I know this history of mental illness in my family. Not just with my mother, I've since discovered other family members who've had serious mental illness. And my job as a parent is to do what I can, and part of that is the environment. Our environment plays a big role in supporting our mental health. And so I want to make sure that my kids continue to be surrounded by art as much as possible. That's one of the things we do. Our house is very colorful.
It's
Sound,
beautiful from what
sound.
I can see.
But it's we just I'm intentional. And when I need to change to empower their brains so their brains can not be stagnated and be rewired again, I'll change something up because I'm learning how powerful the arts is, the how powerful our environments are to keeping us lifted, to stimulating our brains, to stimulating our senses. And I just try to do that because I want to be a parent to take my tools and empower my children.
I love that. I love what you're saying. And I wanted, as you were talking about neural arts and the different ways you have incorporated that into your environment, can you share more about that? Like, and give some examples and maybe some things we can
Absolutely.
do?
Absolutely. So there's an amazing book called Your Brain on Art. Her
Okay.
last name is too comp I know her first name is Susan. Her
Okay.
last name and first Susan and Ivy are the authors. And the book just talks about how research shows how the arts, even poetry, how it stimulates our brains and allows us to release stress. And all three of us, if right now it's three of us at our household, we all have busy working lives. And so what is it even for us that are on now to come in the house and it's the Christmas season to smell pine? I mean, even think about that. Or to come in and you hear the Christmas music softly,
Yes.
and you see a fireplace. All those things are playing a role to our bodies, our environments. And so because I know that, one of the things that I did was I painted murals in certain parts of our house. I have an African mural that I painted about 2 years ago. Then I painted a floral mural in the house about 2 months ago. Also on the stairway, adding raised lines. There's paint that you can get that raises. It's a raised painting. They call it breathing painting. And so when everyone's running down the stairs and their hands are touching the banister, that raised texture. It stimulates. It does something for our body. Or wrapping your doorknobs in something. We don't even think about the little things that that we can do. Even the lighting we have. We recently installed lighting on the stairway. So when they as they walk up the stairs, their feet light up. The pathway light
What?
up.
Amazing.
And it was crazy because I don't think I told them that I did it. And when they did it, they smiled and ran downstairs and was like, "Mom."
Oh, that's so
They're like,
amazing.
"What?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Like we're just trying to do all that we can to stimulate everything. To because when we leave this door of our house, we don't control any of that. Like we don't
No.
we have no control. But as much as we control the inside environment of our home, this is our safe place. It's the place where I can come and retreat. I often ask my children when they come in, "How was your day? What was the most interesting part of your day?" And recently my son, he won't share with us why, but he had a hard day. Something crazy happened at work. We could see it on his face. And I can't control what happened at his job, but when he comes in, I want the house to hug them. The
Okay.
sound, that's what I wanted to, if I'm not here when you get here, the house has greeted you. When you walk in the door, I want to walk in and you're plopped on the couch and you're just taking it all in. Like that is my goal.
Yes.
We're always doing little things. I'm literally always sitting and looking, what's next? What can I change? What can I? Because sometimes our brains, I remember my therapist saying to me, he said, "I want you to start getting up on the different side of the bed." And I was like, "Why?" He was like, "Because our brains, it gets into a routine, and you want to wake your brain up." It's part of what we call neuroplasticity, where you just allow your brain to rewire, our brain's ability to rewire. To we can actually rebuild our brains, and a part of rebuilding our brains is to introduce our brains to new experiences. So he said, "I want you to give your body, your brain, a new experience, and get on the opposite side of the bed." So what did I do? I brought that home to my kids. "Hey, I want you to take a different route to work. I want you to wear something different to work. I want you to sit on the different side of the dining room table today." Just all those little things, those strategic things that we can do to help us. And so I'm always just trying to figure things out to just help us continue to grow.
That is beautiful. Vicky says, Dr. Vicky says, I what you she repeated, I want my house to hug me. And I love that. That's such a powerful thought. And there's so many wonderful tips that you shared that are easy to do, even the
It's so
pine
easy. Yeah, it's
now.
so easy. And it was crazy, ladies, because I would say I wasn't trying to be, but I was really selfish before because I had all this good goodness in my bedroom. So I would come home and I would go straight to my bedroom because I knew that I always set the ambiance in my room. It gives me that hug. And then it just hit me. Why not share that with your children? Like, share that with the rest of the house. And then I can see it lip the way it has lifted them to take that from just my bedroom into the remainder of to the rest of the house. It's really changed. I can see the change in their faces. I can
That's
feel it.
amazing. Lights on the floor, the paint on the banister, you said. So the touch. That's beautiful. I'm just letting that sink in because I've shifted my space this year, earlier this year, and yet it's still, I don't know that it hugs guests or my kids, you know, my young men. That thought is a really powerful thought. It's like, okay, run into the grocery store as soon as we get done. Maybe the hardware store. This is really so deep. It's so amazing. So, did you learn about the neuro arts and all of this in school, or was it like, how did you learn
No,
about
it
all
I
of it?
so so I of course I so in undergrad just started learning about human behavior, and I actually tapped into NeuroArts when I attended, I'm not going to get the name right, but I know what it is. It's a art community, arts and mind, art and mind convening, art and mind village convening here in Tampa, Florida. And I discover an amazing woman, you all should check her out, named Dr. Tasha Golden. And I'm sitting in the audience as a participant, and she's on the panel, and she's talking about she's this recording artist turned scientist, public health scientist. And I felt like the 4th of July lights and fireworks was going off in my head. And it felt like someone was shaking me because I was like, how am I gonna abandon music when I love music and I love the arts, but I love psychology? I just fell in love with psychology. And I'm like, I didn't even know it was possible to merge the two worlds. So she shared her story, and I felt like God was like, look at you. And I'm like, this makes sense. And her story just made sense. She was burnt out. Traveling as an artist, and I had gotten to that point where I didn't really want to sing. I was burnt out. I was wounded. I was traumatized. And she talked about how she backed up from music and took a break, and she discovered science, which I had discovered science, but I didn't know to merge the two. And I made a connection with her, and just made a connection with the community, the arts and health and arts and medicine community. And it's this entire world where they take. Where they are, it's called social prescribing, where they are now starting to prescribe the arts to deal with certain illnesses. And I'm
Amazing.
and this and the then there's research to back that this really works. Like when there's injury to the brain, how prescribing someone to take a to join a choir can help with the brain injury. And then wouldn't you know it, I get in a car accident and I get a first time ever a brain injury. It was an out of body experience when I see myself trying to speak and I can't speak, and I know what I want to say, but I can't say, and sometimes I don't know what to say. And I was actually in a brain class at the time, and I was just mesmerized. And so just taking the arts and hearing her story and getting connected in that community and getting mentors in that community, that's kind of how it all started for me. So I started in school not in that path, but I ended up eventually. It just found me. It found me.
I see. That's so deep. And we sent the link in the chat for anybody who wants to check it out. And there's a free ebook apparently on.
She has several. She talks a lot that I think we all can just be empowered by. She talks about reimagining your work, how to find creativity in your work. You don't have to be an artist per se, but we all have an art sense. I mean, God is an artist. Something I learned in school that I was like, I don't agree with. We don't have to agree with everything, and it says that nature is not art. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Every time I walk out of my door, I see art. But she talks about how to incorporate the arts in your day. Maybe that's having a soundtrack. This week I'm going to have a theme just for me. It doesn't have to be anybody else, but this is my theme. This is my 70s week. And every day in my office is going to be a 70s theme, or my lunch break, I'm going to have lunch and a coloring page. Like all those things that we need so that we don't lose our minds in our work, you know?
It.
And so she has a lot of great resources that I hope you all will take advantage of.
Yes. And talking about music, your music is incredible.
Thank
It
you.
is absolutely beautiful. It's
Thank you.
across, it's gospel infused, but it's like neo soul, right? And
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
neo soul, it's sort of like India Arie meets we were talking Tamela
You
Mann,
said
sort of,
you
right?
said you said Lauryn Hill meets
And Lauryn
her.
Hill, India Arie, and Tamela, maybe, or Kiara
Really?
Shipley or
Okay. I
something.
never
I
heard
don't
that.
know. This is beautiful. And so I'm going to put a link to that as well. But this gorgeous song, You Are Holy, as we're talking about creating a song or a playlist for the week, I think mine's going to be Lisa McClendon. I'm going to check out all your music. It's absolutely beautiful. So I'll put a link to the in the chat as well. But gorgeous. I want to go back to something you said, though, that was intriguing. You said you were broken and you were, I think you said, burned out from music. And so, can you share more about that? Like, what happened where you said, you said I was broken. I think you said I was broken or
Broken,
burned
traumatized,
out, traumatized.
traumatized. So just my experience in the industry, while it was a blessing, again, I didn't have tools. No one knew that I had an anxiety disorder. And I'd actually forgotten. Remember, we kind of buried it. I knew
Yes.
about it at 15, so we hadn't
And you
I
buried it
spoke
at
about it. I
15.
buried it. I didn't even wake up until I was an undergrad. And I was like, oh, I remember the doc. Like, I was like, I remember this. So just going through the industry and not having tools to know absolutely no self-awareness at all, which I think is so important and something that we teach in Yaya's Village a lot. We teach self-awareness, self-expression, and self-regulation through the arts. I think kids having those things is so important. And I didn't have those things. So I didn't know when someone was saying certain things to me, and I didn't know that to pay attention to my hands getting warm. I didn't know to pay attention to my heart racing. I didn't know to pay attention to the racing thoughts. Okay, Lisa, you are going into a fight or flight mode right now. Assess what's going on around you. Do you need to leave? Do you need to call someone? I didn't have any of that. So my first response was anger. And that's why I love what I've learned, and as I continue to learn, because what I've learned, then something that's very important to me is there's always a why. And it helps me to be empathetic to other people's inability to operate in emotional intelligence, because they have a why sometimes that they don't even know why they're. And so I'll see someone act a certain way, and I'm saying to myself, they probably don't know why they're dealing with that, or they haven't learned how. Maybe they know why, they haven't learned how, because the why is just a start. So that self-awareness was very important, and I just didn't have that. I didn't have the self-awareness. And so it made being in the industry extremely tough for me, because I had a gift, I had a talent. But I still needed the tools. The talent wasn't enough. So being ready to take the stage and being triggered and not even knowing what just triggered me, not knowing that I do need to have a quiet space before I hit the stage sometimes, and someone may have said something that triggered something. And now I have to go grab the mic. And for the first 5 minutes in my head, I'm trying to take myself down so that I can really sing, because I had no clue. I had no clue. It was hard. It was extremely hard. When I take the stage now, it's night and day. It's night and day because I know me. I know to say, Lisa, there's nothing wrong, or there is something wrong, but it or there is something wrong, and you'll be fine.
And you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Because oftentimes, and my kids, they know now. I'll say, you didn't hear me talking to you, and they're like, Mama, you talk to yourself all the time. We don't know when you're talking to us.
Yes.
Because I'm always talking to myself, and I think we should do that. We should make that, we should normalize that. But I'm always checking in out autopilot. Lisa, you good? I'll be walking upstairs. Lisa, you good? And I'm like, yeah.
Self-talk.
And it makes me stop and say, am I good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Or no, I'm not good. Okay, now let's talk about it. Why are you not good? I do that constantly. I didn't have those things when I was In the prime of my height of my career as an artist, traveling, I did not have any of that, and it made it extremely difficult.
Wow, and now you do. So do you still
Now I
perform?
do.
Do you still
Yes, as I say, now it's totally different. So now I know that I need to watch what I eat. I
Yeah.
know that it's important for me to get rest, because all of those things play a huge role in my mental health, in my ability to operate at peak performance, if you will. It always, I mean, I get it because sometimes we just don't know. But when I hear the term peak performance, when I got introduced to that term, it was always some reason people talking about peak performance and not getting sleep. You don't have time to sleep. And I'm thinking, how do you
That's an
operate in,
oxymoron.
it definitely is. How do you operate in such a high place without proper rest? Your brain has to reset. And so now I know when I have to catch an early flight, you need to be in the bed early. You need to make sure that you have your vitamin supplements on deck. You need to have your protein. You need to have your iron. You need to have all those things that I didn't know was important. Did you drink enough water today? Did you meditate? Did you cut everything off for at least 13 minutes so that your brain can have a space to reset? All of those things I know now to do, especially when I'm on the road, it is so important to just be tapped into that so that I can give my best to me first and then to everyone who's listening.
That's amazing. And do you, I'm just thinking about that, like the importance of rest and also checking in and the self-talk. You know, I think that we don't do that enough at all. So I love that. I love that's really important. Can you talk more about Yayay's Village and This Is My Brave? Share more about what you do with those organizations or with those projects.
She's my baby. It's funny because when I was getting prepared for this morning, I was grabbing a notebook just to write some thoughts down, and I have, geez, probably 100 journals, and happened to grab a notebook where I had written down my first thoughts about Yaya's Village, and I was like, what are the
Oh,
odds?
wow.
So anyway, Yaya's Village has evolved into an expressive arts program. And what we do is we utilize the arts to help give kids tools to learn about self-awareness, self-expression, and self-regulation. Currently, the students that we serve, we are focused on, just to give you an example, we are focused on, they are preparing for their first showcase, doing a play. And one of the groups that I have is all boys. They kicked the girls out. They didn't want any girls in. And I said, well, if we're going to kick the girls out, you have to promise me that you will be all in. And they have kept their word. They're doing their first play called, this might sound familiar, Crown, an Ode to a Fresh Cut. You all know
Oh, I love that.
that
Yes.
book. So we've taken that book and made it a play.
Love
And so
it.
it's important because what we're essentially doing is what I love to call is disguised learning. Many of these boys, these particular boys, have challenges reading. Not all of them, but some of them do. And they don't want to read because they feel like they're discouraged that they can't read, so they don't want to read. But when they pick up the book, it's not, well, it's in a play form. When they pick up the play and they see a story about a boy who's getting a haircut, now they're intrigued. Now they want to read. And so what I do is I introduce the book as a read aloud first. I find the read aloud online. Because kids love digital, so get their attention. And they got engaged with the book through the read aloud. And then I hand the writing, the book or the play in their hands. But because they've seen the read aloud, they've made the connection. Now they're excited about reading, so they're learning. Now that's building up their self-esteem. Now they want to learn more. Now they want to read more. Now they're asking questions. One of the things we also do at Yaya's Village when we incorporate mental health, we always open our sessions and close our sessions, what we call an e-check, which is an emotional check that I encourage you all to do for yourself and with your family. We go on the count of three, give us your number, 1 to 3. 3 means I'm feeling amazing. 2 is I'm feeling all right. And 1 is today just sucked. 1, 2, 3. Everybody put their numbers up, and then we go and we talk about why are you a 1. Why are you a 2? Why are you a 3? And then at the end of the session, we talk about, we go again, 1, 2, 3, put our numbers up. And then we talk about what has happened in this session, in this art session, that has helped you get to a three if you were a two, or helped you get to a two if you were a one. And that is allowing kids to learn about self-awareness, because how many times do teachers have the time to stop and say, hey, how are you feeling today?
That's right. I mean, how we never do that as adults either.
So that's their space to tap in, to know how they're feeling. And then here are the tools. We always have a list of tools that they can choose from. What tool on the board were you able to pull from that you use? Because I always tell parents, when I work with parents and children, your kids are not going to always be around you. You have to give them a tool belt, so when you're not there to fix it, they know how to fix it themselves.
That's awesome.
And even if they can't fix it, because sometimes we can't fix things right away, but I can manage it.
That's right.
Sometimes it's not even about fixing kids. It's just about managing. You
That's
know, there
right.
are times that I've woken up with anxiety, straight panic attack. Don't know why it's being triggered. I'm sitting there trying to figure out what happened. Why am I having an anxiety attack? I can't always control it, but I can manage it. I know that I can lay here another 30 minutes. I'm not in a rush. The world is not going to stop because I'm not up. And so teaching my kids that, teaching the kids in Yaya's Village, you may be having a full-on episode, and your teacher may not allow you to leave the classroom. Can you tap your feet quietly at your desk? Can you have something in your hand that's textured, that can stimulate you, that can help ease that stress? So that's what we try to do in Yaya's Village, and it's been a very re rewarding program.
That's amazing. Is it all in person?
It's all in person. We
Okay.
actually partner with existing programs. So another fun story is, a year ago, I left Boys and Girls Club as a director. I was a director there, and they allowed me to bring the concept of Yaya's Village. I woke up one morning and said, why don't I take this idea of Yaya's Village in my head and try to incorporate it with the kids? Because I would see the kids, they would come in every day to the program, and they just look so down because we were under a very rigorous academic grant. So the kids were getting, they weren't playing as much as they were still learning. Been in school all day. So they go to school all day, and then they come here and they have to read more and learn. I was like, this is just not going to work. So let's just hide everything in the arts, which is what Yaya's Village is. So the kids learn science through dance. So the girls who were learning about tornado, the difference between a tornado and a hurricane, they would do it in a dance. You know, there was a difference in a tumultuous rain and a light rain. And so we brought all that there. So I left there a year ago after serving for almost 5 years. And about 6 months ago, Boys and Girls Club became my first partner for Yaya's Village.
Oh,
And so,
congratulations.
yeah, so now one of my programs is at one of their locations, and I just inherited three more locations for Boys and Girls Club
Awesome.
that we will be starting the new school year. So I just thought
That's
that
so
was so that's
awesome.
so dope, because I remember leaving and people thinking, what you gonna do? I'm like, what do you mean what I'm gonna do? What do you mean I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go do what God has gifted me to do. So Yaya's Village is definitely changing kids through the arts, but we're disguising it. We're disguising all of their learning and all their tools in the arts.
It's amazing. I wish you could. And my dog says yes too. My dog says yes. That's incredible.
Yes, I want that walk. Yes.
My 19-year-old is home, and so he came and
Just
said
have a
hello,
plan.
and then the dog is excited to see him.
Yes, it is.
But sorry about that. But what I was going to say was your Yaya's Village, concept and construct and structure, the whole initiative is so incredible.
Oh, thank you.
And it would be amazing if all the Boys and Girls Club somehow could do it. You know, I
I
don't
am.
know what
That's
we
my
could
goal.
claim that. Yes, for
My
every chapter in
goal.
the country.
That's my goal.
That
Yeah.
would be amazing, because I love how what you say, you're disguising these tools and these concepts through the arts and getting young men and young women to be able to act out things and learn in a way that is infused with art therapy, really, is so powerful
Yes,
and
because we've got a lot
incredible.
of kids. Some of our kids deal with impulsivity, a lot of our boys. And so when they're reading the script, just to give you an example, they have to learn to wait their turn because it's not your line yet. So something as simple as I'm doing a play, and someone would say, well, how was a play helping a kid impulsivity, because they have to wait their turn. They're literally
Yeah.
moving along, and they
Yes.
have to control their impulse before they say anything because it's not their turn. So they
Yeah.
can take something so simple and apply it in the classroom, because that's what I see a lot. Kids can't learn if they're not in the classroom, especially at least in the educational public school setting. If that's where the bulk of their learning is coming from, and they're constantly getting kicked out, we have to figure out how to keep these kids in class.
That's it.
You
How to
know,
keep them.
so they're, you know, these are just some of the tools that we're using so that they know when they get in the classroom, they go into autopilot. They can tap into those same things that they've learned at Williams Village.
So good. I so love it. This has been amazing.
Yay.
Brilliant, people have said, incredible, powerful. I want to make sure that we give time for people to ask a question or make a comment if they want while we're here. The time has flown by. I can't even believe it.
Oh, wow.
We've already been chatting for almost 50 minutes, which is, it felt like five. But if anyone wants to come off of mute, you can hit star six on your phone or hit the unmute button if you're on your computer. If you want to make a comment or ask a question of Lisa. And yes, agree. You need a Yay-Yay's toolkit for
I
parents,
saw
schools, and
that.
organizations. Absolutely.
Get
Absolutely.
out of my office, because
Yes.
we started working on the curriculum last week.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that conversation.
Absolutely. Good morning. Good morning. So happy to be here this time. How can we get you to a Boys and Girls Club in our community?
I just called.
I'm very serious here.
Yes, no, I appreciate that. So I can just share my email. Is that okay with you?
Thank you.
Okay, sure. So I can just put it in the chat. If that will work for everyone. So we are at create@yayays village. org. Everyone sees that. And then the number is 813-591.
$8.99
662-2723, and that's for 81. Thank you for asking. I will be honored.
That would be amazing. And I think it was Diane who just asked the question. If you want to come back off mute, I just muted just because of the background noise. But thank you for the question. And that would be amazing. I do think you need to be everywhere. Your incredible program. I love the idea of
Thank
doing a
you.
toolkit. I could see partnering with like the Ad Council to do some things together. They're always looking for partners. So much more to explore, but incredible. And
Thank you.
thank you. So her email is in the chat, create@yayays village, YEYES village.org. And her phone number is in here. And happy to add your information to the website too, so people can click straight there, our website. So we'll do that. Thank you for that question. Did you want to say something else, Diane? I see you're
I was
in.
going to ask,
Yes.
can you be solicited to be a speaker as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be honored. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
We have
you.
a wonderful program. I'm calling from Chicago area, and we have a program that's called Elevating Voices through Written Word, Spoken Word, Mental Health in Our Black Youth. And we are so excited about it. And Kelly, one of our speakers, informed us about your program, and a group of us have been following you for the past year. It is
Oh,
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So
thank
when I
you.
saw this week's, I sent it out to our organization, and there are probably some other sisters on this call as well.
Oh,
So thank you. Thank you.
thank
Kelly,
you for
thank you
that.
as well. Yes.
Thank you for that, and thank you for being here. It's such a love. I love doing it. It helps me every week, and it blesses me personally. And I'm happy to have other people be blessed. And Lisa,
Yeah.
this morning has blessed all of us so tremendously. So I love what you just said. Thank you for sharing that. Any other questions or comments? We're going to help Lisa get in every Boys and Girls Club in the country. We're going to claim it today.
Ready. She's
That
ready.
would be amazing. And toolkits, we've done them. Vicki, you work on Wrap It Up. We know how to do that, that's for sure. So we're happy to support. Absolutely. Any other questions or comments for Lisa?
Yes, I had a question for
Yes.
Lisa. Hi,
Yes.
Lisa.
My name's Michelle. I wanted to know how your organization helps impact children when it comes to generational trauma and how it's defeating those things using the arts.
That's a loaded question. I think it goes back to tools. I think it just goes back to tools. Because I know my trauma is generational. My mother went through a lot of the same things that I went through. I think the best thing we just started doing this is getting the parents involved, because you generation, when I hear generation, that means the parents are included, and then the parents' parents are included. So I think making it community is important. Getting the parents sometimes the kids don't want the parents around, but getting the parents involved in some type of way definitely helps to address it. Because if we can do what we can do in our 90-minute session, right? I mean, sorry, 60-minute session, and then they're still going home to whatever they're going home to. And while we can't control that environment, if we can have an idea what's happening at home, are they in an abusive home? Because that, unfortunately, sometimes the situation. Are they in a home where the parents are loving and caring, but they just need tools as well? That helps. So I'm really big about staying connected to the parents as much as I can, as much as the team can, because I think that would help the kids deal with the trauma. And then also referring families to therapy. We're only a piece of the puzzle. Like, we're not the one stop. It's a community thing, and I'm just happy that we are part of the community. So I always direct families to therapy. I direct them to other resources as well. As it's always important when you enter work like this and you think that it's just you, I think you do a disservice to the families when you don't offer other resources that maybe you can't cover. That makes sense. Yeah, I think that's important.
Thank you. That was a wonderful answer.
And there's organizations that actually provide free therapy services, like the Boris J. Henson Foundation. They have offer free services, or Therapy for Black Girls. They have wonderful resources as well, and others out there. So thank you for that. Any other questions? For Lisa, those were fantastic. No, quiet this morning. But those are great, great, great questions. You have been such an amazing blessing. I
Thank
am
you.
so thrilled. So, what you focus on, which I think we can all focus on, just please remind me, self-awareness, self-reflection, and self, what's the last one?
Self-awareness, self-expression,
Expression
and self-regulation.
and
I mean, there's
self.
so many tools, but I think for me, those are the foundational tools that I try to hone in on for our children
And for ourselves, that's the thing. So your
and for
focus is
our
our
selves.
children, but it's starting with ourselves,
Yes.
the
And that's
self-awareness.
crazy, because everything that I do with the students, I do it me first. That's why I know it works. And I said, you know,
Yes.
anytime that self-doubt, you know, we deal with that imposter syndrome, you know, can I do this? Am I equipped? Am I? And I'm like, girl, you've been living this. You are the living proof. I remember one time, I don't know where I gotta go. I remember my daughter, it's been about 6 years now. She was getting ready to go to school, and she was getting ready to walk out the door, and she stopped. And she turned her back around. I said, did you forget something? And she said, no, I just want to tell you, Mom, I'm so proud of you. You've come so far. You've grown so much. And I was like, you don't even realize your kids are watching, right? And I
Yes.
said, oh, wow, Diamond, thank you. She was like, you're welcome. And she's walked out the door. That's me.
That's so
And so it
beautiful.
let me know when you feel in doubt and you feel like you haven't grown, you have grown. And someone just told you, your child lives with you. Can't fake in this house. She
I
just
love
told you
it.
she sees your growth. So I know that what I do for me works. And so these tools that have worked for me, I extend to my own children and the children that I serve in the community.
Oh, I love it. And the self-awareness, even the 1 to 3, you know, how are we feeling today? You know,
Yes.
1 to 3, that was really powerful just to
Yes.
answer that question honestly. And then ask the second part, I think you said this, and then why? You know, if I'm feeling 2, why is that?
Yeah.
And then thinking about, okay, what can I do to change that to get to a 3?
Yes, what can we do? What can we do? How can we what can we do? And then we talk at the end, we talk about what did you do? Oh, how did you get there? How did you get to that 2? How did you get to that 3?
And then taking
And for
the
those that
tool.
are Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, I said, and taking and doing something, you
And
know,
doing
if I'm
something.
at a two right now because I'm
Right.
exhausted, physically exhausted.
And if you are a three, how did you maintain that? Because a lot of times, we walk in environments even as adults, and we are threes. We're doing great, and the environment takes us down. You know, and then I have to be able to assess, and the kids are learning to assess. Maybe these are not the friends that I need to be around, because every time I'm a three, I get around you and I'm a one. How do I get around you and I'm a one? You know, so teaching them that, teaching them to learn how to assess their environment.
And ourselves. So if a person is making us go from a two to a one or a three to a one, then that person probably needs to not be in our life anymore. And it's
Right.
probably a best blessing for them and for us.
Right.
There's an opportunity, I would say, a purge forward. It's such an opportunity and a freeing space to eliminate any of the negativity in our world. I love that. And your framework is looking at, are you a three? Do I go to a one? What is the trigger there? Or what is the, you know, is there a person that takes me there? Then they need to not be there. And that part's hard.
It is. It
But
is.
on the other side of it is such a beautiful thing.
For sure.
This has been incredible. Someone just said, wow. Every time I get around you, I go to a one. Wow. That's amazing. So thank you for being here. You have been such
Thank
a
you.
blessing,
Thank
such
you.
a
I appreciate
blessing.
this. Thank you so much. Thank you for everybody who came and just this energy. I appreciate this space. Thank you for what you do, Kelly, and taking your
Oh.
story and inspiring. This is so needed. So thank you. Thank
I
you all.
appreciate it, but I appreciate you and appreciate you and Dr. Vicky for bringing
Thank
you
you,
and
Dr. Vicky.
introducing you to our incredible village. I'm going
Yes.
to turn it over to Dr. Vicky now and to close us out in a prayer. And I'm so grateful. So thank you.
Thank you.
There's so much I could say, Lisa. This was fantastic. When I shared your graphic for the call today, I used your song Manifest.
Oh.
And today has been the fulfillment of that. I really am so grateful for your journey. Like, I want to cry. You know, I've watched your journey, and I am so proud of you and for all that is coming and all that you're going to do in this space. So, God, we thank you for this day that you have given us, this beautiful day that you've given us, and we choose to rejoice. We choose to give you glory. Thank you for Lisa. Thank you for Yeye's Village. Thank you for the Sunrise Project, this space, this support call. Thank you for every person, every woman, every man, every parent, everyone that has assembled here today. Thank you for the brilliance that you have put in Lisa and the genius that is Yeye's Village. I thank you that the world will know her name, her work, and what she is doing, the tools that she is sharing. Thank you because that is clearly the wisdom of God that you have given to her. So I thank you for favor, for her work, for her person, for her music, for her ministry, for her assignment. Thank you for the partnerships and the collaborations and the opportunities and the open doors. Thank you for Kelly and Dee and the Sunrise Project and the assignment that you have given to us to be connectors, to be a bridge for parents, to support for children, to support God, to help heal the world. We don't take it lightly and we give you glory for it. Now bless us as we go into the rest of this day. Thank you that we're leaving this call at three and we're going to be mindful of our environments and our relationships and our conversations and the people so that we can maintain a three. Thank you for the tools that you've given to us, the learning that has been experienced today. Only you can do it like it was done, and we're grateful. Now bless us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See everyone next week.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. Amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See you next week.